You're listening to Control ClickCast. We inspect the web for you. Today, we are diving into the topic of twig templating for craft with our special guest, Marion Nulevent. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
This episode is sponsored by Ellis Lab. Expression Engine is an infinitely flexible content management system that powers some of the web's best. Expression Engine 2.92 comes jam-packed with even more power and flexibility. Smarter, faster conditionals, reordering template routes, Markdown Extra, which adds support for tables, fenced code blocks, footnotes, and more, and a massive array of security and stability fixes, just to name a few. Expression Engine can power your next project no matter how big or small. Visit ellislab.com/expressionengine to learn more and download a free copy of Expression Engine Core today.
Today's guest, Marion Nulevent, is no stranger to CMSs. She's as versed in the back end as she is the front, with expertise in PHP, Expression Engine, and CodeIgniter. And if you take a peek at her recent Twitter stream, you know she's a big fan of craft and very active in that community. Welcome to the show, Marion.
Thank you.
So, Marion, can you tell our listeners a bit more about yourself?
Well, I don't really recognize myself from all that expertise you just gave me, but
I just got that from your website. I was so impressed when I was checking out your portfolio.
There you go. It's a good marketing website, and I need to update it as well. Let's see. I'm here in Portland, Oregon. It's gray out, which, as we say, is lovely weather. I am, in fact, a software developer since kind of the dawn of time. I go back to the age of punch cards, and I like to dabble in this, that, and the other thing. So this, that, and the other thing technical-wise, and then I'm a creative, crafty person. Let's see. If you were to ask me what my hobbies are, I would start talking about how I've been to ceramics and throwing pots, and I like to spin, making yarn and knit some and sew some.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. I live in an old house in Portland. I have a lot of cane seat chairs, and I recane their seats every so often.
Oh, interesting.
So lots of minority crafts.
Well, so you have a lot of interest in technical stuff, but you also seem to do a lot of stuff with your hands, too.
Yeah, they relate for me. It's kind of creating things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you've had some experience with Expression Engine. I'm curious, what made you look into craft?
I was hearing good things about it, and it seemed like it was a new thing to jump on, and I could get in on the beginning. I sort of came to Expression Engine actually fairly late in the game, so I thought, I'll check out this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a less, you know, because everybody was learning together, it was less of a learning curve for me.
Did you get in on the beta, like the early versions, or was it only after it kind of was out for public release?
After it was out for public release. Mm-hmm. I'd heard about it before then when it was called Blocks, and it was sort of on my list of things I want to check out, but I didn't actually get around to it till it was released.
And Twig is the underlying templating language for craft. Had you already had any experience with Twig at that point?
I'd worked with Django, and Django has a very, very similar templating language. It compiles into Python and not PHP, but the underlying, the language is very similar. So that's my previous experience, not exactly with Twig, but very close.
So in terms of that, did that have any effect on you being more open to craft? Like how that underlying language for the templating for a given CMS, does that affect whether you pick it up or choose it to use for a particular project?
It affects a lot how I feel about it, I think. Mm. Twig is a nice, clean, simple language, and I go, oh, this is lovely. You know, I could really get into this.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's really, you know, it sounds like you have more of a programming mind than maybe I do, but I feel like it's just really easy to read.
Right.
You know, you don't have to know a lot of logic or programming to read it right away and say, oh, that's what that does. I understand it immediately.
It's pretty easy to read, and it's consistent as a language.
Yeah, because what I was about to ask is, what defines a clean, easy to understand language to you?
I guess it's more easier for me to understand the converse, you know, what is a unclean, difficult to understand language. But a clean one is, you know, there are a few pieces of syntax. Twig has the curly bracket percent sign sort of tags and the double curly bracket tags, and then it has the Twig comments, and that's it. There are those three things, and anything else is not Twig. And then within the tags, you know, there's a consistent way of making assignments and testing things and so on. So it's all fairly compact as a language. It doesn't have a lot of extra special cases or, you know, two kinds of conditionals or any of that.
So when you started playing around with Kraft, obviously you were playing around with EE a little bit before. Did that affect the learning curve for you in terms of templating? Or was it okay because, like you said, you already were playing with a similar type of language within Django?
Well, it's another programming language. And from my perspective, it's yet another programming language, and that's not the intimidating part.
So what was the intimidating part?
Of coming to Kraft? I think Kraft was really not very intimidating at all.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it.
You know, I was looking at a resource that Leia had shared with me in advance of this conversation, and it's Brandon Kelly's Templating in EE versus Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows how long this has been out there. I'm always like the last person to find something like this. But it's a really great document. I think I would love to see this, if we could create this for every kind of CMS that we work with and say, well, this is how you do comments in Expression Engine, in Kraft, in Statamic, in whatever. And it's just, it makes it contextual. So for me, having been familiar with Expression Engine, it gives me an instant, oh, I can, this is how I did an Expression Engine, this is how I did it in Kraft.
Right.
I would love to see this extended for other things. I mean, obviously not from Brandon, but, you know, for even our own internal references. I just think this is such a really simple, straight way to get someone quickly familiar with some of the concepts, you know, drawing a parallel with something they're already familiar with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for me, because I'm not a programmer by trade. So for me, like the system that I'm very familiar with, obviously, is Expression Engine. So I started to understand how things work using that particular templating language. For me, when I jumped into Kraft and into Twig, it was a bit more difficult, not necessarily because I thought Twig was a difficult language per se. It's just that there was some translation issues,
mm-hmm.
even in terms of terminology, like whatever an embed means or whatever the extends mean or whatever the import means. They don't necessarily mean the same thing in Expression Engine as it is in Kraft, or even pagination. You know, like the concept of how pages go from left to right or next or previous is what it is. But the actual concept of the content is slightly different. So in order to do maybe the same thing in one versus the other is, you have to figure out what the translation is first before you can dive into it.
I think that's a great word, translation. I feel like this document sort of attempts to do that translation. It's like, here's the word in English, here's the word in Spanish.
Yeah.
Here's how you do it in EE, here's how you do it in Kraft.
Right.
I think that's really useful. So, Marian, you said that you didn't really feel like Kraft was particularly intimidating to pick up. So I'm curious, what do you think was so comfortable for you about picking it up and using it? What was so easy about it for you?
Again, I think it's that it was a sort of a small pond. You know, it's possible to read through all of the Kraft documentation that exists, or, you know, it was at that point.
Right.
And you say, all right, there aren't any real hidden corners here.
That's a good point about a comparatively new community and or tool.
Right.
Everything's right there and it's not distributed across ages and ages of, you know, sometimes I do find it a little frustrating when I go into forums and I'm finding solutions, but they're for such old versions and I have no idea, you know, because it's just such a deep wealth of information related to Expression Engine.
Yes. Say, if you look at WordPress, say, for instance, which is kind of the other extreme, you know, you can spend an awful long time trying to get yourself oriented in the sea of information about just even what are the useful resources. And you say Kraft, well, you want to go to the Kraft website and you want to read the documentation there, and that's where it is. It's not spread all over everywhere.
Although, like, I guess it is a double-edged sword too, because I started playing around with Kraft when it was still the version one, the public version, after the beta. And I remember I had to ask Brandon about that pageant. I know I'm going on about the pagination thing because I was so confused about it. And the tutorial you see on the craft documentation was after I asked Brandon to write a tutorial, because I'm like, okay, I don't get what I'm doing.
Yeah, but he probably answered you right away.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact is, if you're coming from my perspective where I'm a front-end developer, I'm not a programmer, the logic doesn't make immediate sense to me. So early documentation wasn't as useful to me as it is now that people have been battle testing it for a little bit.
Yep. But at least you know that if you're not finding the documentation, it's not because you just don't know where to look. It's because it isn't there.
That's true, too. It just needs to be created. You've mentioned Django and that the language is similar. How is working in Django and templating in Django for you? What's your experience? Is it pretty simple and straightforward? I've personally never worked with it.
It's very like craft. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of depends on whether you set yourself up and to do it things in a simple way, or whether you set yourself up to do things in a way that has a lot of this one is like that one except different in this other way, and let's encapsulate all that with a bunch of inheritance and structure and so on. So you can kind of do it either way.
Well, let's talk about that just a second. So you say setting yourself up to create a simple template. What does that mean to you? Is that like, we've talked about it before on the podcast, like dry, you know, do not repeat yourself, you know, using like a modular approach to your templating, breaking things up into...
Well, if you focus on being dry and being modular and breaking things up and not repeating yourself, you may come up with something that works really well, but it will not be the simple, most superficial, easy to understand way. So,
is that the approach you follow, though? I mean, so when you're looking to build something simple, what does that mean to you?
I actually end up going down the road of making things very dry. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that that's the same as making things superficially easy to understand. Mm-hmm. If you just write it all out, and if it happens twice, it happens twice, that's very simple. It's may not be what you want going down the road.
Right, right.
But yeah, so there's a trade-off between how much you want to invest in understanding the structure you've created and versus just keeping it simple.
Regarding that, how do you find craft handles making things dry? Is it easier to make things dry in craft than it is, say, other systems you played around with?
I think it's got quite good support for it. I have a complex programmery mind, so I tend to go down that path of let me set up all this structure so that I never have to repeat myself. So I kind of enjoy structuring things that way. I use a lot of macros. I'll use a lot of includes.
Can you explain what you mean by macros? I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, Twig macros. Twig macros are wonderful. Twig macro is like a little function call, except that what it returns is always a bit of a string that you output rather than, you know, being able to return other sorts of structures. But you have a macro in Twig and you pass it some parameters and it does its thing and it outputs your whatever it is that you want output. So it's just like a little function call, and I use them anywhere that I want to encapsulate something. So if I'm just reading down my template and I say, okay, and there's the header, poof, let's call a macro that does the header, or let's call a macro that does this navigation. And then I can come along later and say, okay, now what does the navigation actually look like? Well, I'll put more details in that macro and it's going to call these other macros. And so it ends up, for me, being a very programming approach to things.
I'm just looking at the Sensio Labs Twig example of a macro. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but is it a kind of a way to spit out your markup and the attributes for that markup, like a programmatic way? I mean, because I'm looking at their example and it's got macro for an input, form input. So it just generates the input element in a form or wherever you want it to go.
That's a macro in the Twig documentation there. That's a macro, which is sort of like a function. And the name of the function is input. So you say, I want this input thing and I'm going to pass it these things. Yeah, and it assembles it for you.
And you would use that for, like you said, a header in your template. So it could also include the craft tags for the actual header value?
It can include more or less anything. I use a macro whenever I have some piece of typically HTML that the same sort of thing is going to happen more than once.
Yeah.
Like if I'm printing out if I'm displaying a bit of rich text, then it turns out that I want to always have that rich text sitting inside a div with a class so that I can format it as rich text. And so instead of just always remembering to do that every time, I call my rich text macro
and I pass it
an array of class names that I want it to have, and it generates it for me. So that's one example of a macro. I use macros often in place of the craft nav tag. The craft nav tag is really nice. It does this thing with the children and so on, and you push it so far and then it starts to break down because you want to do something different on this level and you want to be able to noticing which is your active element, and it gets complicated. So at a certain point I say, okay, well, it's not working for me, so I'm just going to make myself a macro and I'm going to pass it in my top level of the tree. And you can write, as it turns out, recursive macros. So I just call myself, that macro calls itself when it gets to the next level of the structure, and you can have more control than you do with the nav tag. You can count how many levels deep you are and hard code it in that it's not willing to go past 4, that it's going to do something different on level 3, or that you're those sorts of things.
Yeah, so I could see how that's a way to reduce the amount of markup you're creating for those repeatable elements. Very interesting. What do you think about craft's template inheritance and how that can support a more dry approach, not having to repeat like something as simple as like your common header and footer?
Twig template inheritance.
Or is it, I guess, it's Twig's template inheritance. It's not specific to craft. It's not specific to craft.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you could ask me about the includes and extends and embeds, which are kind of also are ways of keeping things dry for sure. And I'll talk about all of them. They're kind of related, and they also, in my mind, they relate to macros because they're all about keeping things dry. So include is the simplest of those three. They're all related, but include is the simplest. And it's just like right here, as I'm going along generating stuff, now I'm going to include the contents of this other template. And you can include the contents of this other template more than once, and you can include the contents of this template here and that template there. It's not restricted in that way. Extends kind of is, I think of includes as building things out inward, and extends is kind of going upward, which is a little bit different. But so you have extends, you have your template, and you say this template here extends that template over there. So the template that you're extending, typically it'll be like a layout template, will have in it a number of one or more blocks. And then the template, which is doing the extending, will, its job is to stuff content into those blocks. So you, in the examples, they typically just have one block and it's called content, but you could have a block that was called content, and you could have a block that was called header, and you could have a block that was called more JavaScript and whatever. And you could have, but when you're extending, you get to extend one template, and that's all you get to do, really, basically, that the template that is doing the extending is allowed to create these blocks, but it's not allowed to output anything else. And you can nest those. You can have this template extends, that template extends, the other template, which is a one way of, you know, say you have your basic layout with your header and your footer and your stuff in the middle, and then your stuff in the middle, sometimes it's one column and sometimes it's two columns, and then you can have both the one column template and the two column template both extending from the basic template. So you can build up repeating structures that way. But you only get to extend one template per template file. And now embeds is kind of, you take both of those and you combine them together. And when you combine them together, you have a template and it can embed. An embed is like an include, plus you get to fill in blocks in the thing that you're embedding. So you can embed more than one, you can embed something in more than one place, you can embed more than one something, but you get to pass stuff down in this, using this block structure to the, into the things you're embedding that you don't get to do with an includes. You know, I think it's a very cool concept. I don't think I have yet come up with a project where I say, yes, this I need to use embeds for. I'm more likely to use includes and I'm more likely to use macros personally so far. But on the other hand, I may come up with something where I just go, oh, yes, not only, you know, now I know what this is really good for because I've come to that example.
So I'm curious, because I haven't had a chance to use macros yet. I've been using the includes and extends, and I haven't even touched embeds because it confused me. Because when I was reading all the stuff about embeds, I'm like, what's the point? Like, I can just use includes and extends and just have a bunch of templates of includes and then make my own pages, etc. But with the macros, do you have like one master macro page, or do you have macros per template? Like, I'm just trying to figure out how it would work in terms of the workflow, like breaking up the files and stuff.
Right. What I do in terms of the workflow is I create a folder in my templates folder that's called underbar macros. And then I stick all my macros in there, and I'll have related macros will go in one file. And then I have a sort of a, sometimes a catch-all sort of utils macro for things that get used a lot. Or, and then inside the individual macro files, so typically I'll have a, for example, I'll have a macro file called underbar navigation. And then in there, I will have a macro called output, so that in my template, when I'm calling that macro, first you have to import the macro, and then you call it, you say navigation.output, and pass it the parameters. So that, to me, makes sense to call it output. So I'll have a macro called output, and then that output macro will quite possibly call lots of other macros that are sort of internal to the macro file, and I name them with an underbar just so that underbar this and underbar that, just so I know that those are local to that file in terms of how they're used. You could call them from outside, but since I don't want to, I name them with an underbar. Another convention. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's interesting. I think that obviously it's so hard to talk about code without
seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this would be one of those things that I bet Leia's going to want to try the next time we build a craft site.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
for
you
sure.
Should totally try it. And one of the things that you can do, which is really nice with craft, is, you know, you can have these templates that you just navigate to. They don't have an entry associated with them. So you can just go play around and create a bunch of templates that include other templates. And extend and embed and have defined macros and just write yourself some little test code. What happens if I do this, and what happens if I do that, and will the other thing work?
So I have a question, and I hope it's not an irrelevant question to craft in particular, but you know, with Expression Engine, there are issues with parse order sometimes and performance. You know, when something gets parsed, whether it's early or later in the parse order. Is that any of a concern when you're dealing with craft templating, especially like if you have macros inside macros and you're using includes, like, is there anything that you've noticed that causes an error or causes a major performance hit? Or are all of these operating, as far as you can tell, just like seamlessly?
They operate pretty well. What happens is the Twig templates get compiled into PHP. And so all of that parsing of Twig templates and including and macro calling, so that those just turn into PHP function calls at the worst. You can go and look at the compiled templates. They're in craft storage runtime compiled templates, and there they all are. If you clear your cache and then just look at one thing, then you'll have maybe less of them to look at. But that's just PHP code. So calling a macro, I think, just turns into a PHP function call. And in the scheme of things, function call is not something to worry about. But you were asking me about tricky thing I find that reminds me of the parse order issues and so on in craft with Twig, and I think there just may be no way around it, is figuring out how to use the cache tag so that things don't break and so that you get benefit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my challenging thing.
So that's something you're still trying to find the sweet spot for?
That's something I'm still trying to find the sweet spot for.
Speaking of that, caching, I feel like, is one of those steps where you're trying to be really efficient with writing Twig and writing your templates. What do you think are the biggest ways you can write Twig more efficiently?
Well, it depends if you mean write Twig more efficiently or write more efficient Twig. If you mean write Twig more efficiently, I suspect there's some clever things that you can do with Sublime Text and automating things.
Right.
And I would recommend that, but I haven't actually gotten into myself.
Oh, you don't do that yourself yet?
I use Sublime Text, and I use, you know, sort of the stuff that it comes out with out of the box, but I haven't spent the time to really figure out how to make it jump through hoops for me.
Yeah.
But I hear good things about it.
Yeah, same here. I'm in the same boat. I've been wanting it to write my code for me, but I have to take the time to tell it how to.
yep. Maybe you can get somebody else to come on and tell us how to do that. That would be great.
Oh, we had a podcast with Sean Smith last year where we talked about this a bit. He didn't do it necessarily with Twig or Craft, but for some of his Common Expression Engine code snippets, he created a text expander for Sublime Text where It would just pop, just drop in how he writes those different areas, you know, how he does pagination, how he might do a form.
Right. And closing those tags, I'd like to say,
right.
You know, if, and have the end if just there for
right.
me. But, so I have not done that, but I suspect there are advantages there. And the other thing is I try and write for writing more efficiently. I try and keep stuff well organized and tidy so that I don't spend so much time floundering.
Yeah, and it also sounds when you were describing your macro organization that you have a convention that you follow for how you name things and save directories. And I think for whatever you're writing, whether it's front end work or you're doing stuff for Craft or Statamic, having a convention is really important, whether it's something you've established on your own or you're borrowing from someone else.
Yes.
So what about writing more efficient Twig?
Writing more efficient Twig. Yeah. Well, it gets compiled into PHP, which is really helpful. So you really need to worry mostly about the efficiency of the PHP and not so much the efficiency of the Twig parsing. So there, you want to watch out for inefficient algorithms, you know, if you're looping through things and looping and looping and n-squared algorithms and so on. That's going to be bad. And sometimes just because you can do something in Twig doesn't mean you should do something in Twig.
Right.
You know, once you get into complicated Twig programming, you might as well be writing plugins. It's really no harder. And then that gives you the power of PHP, and something that was being really inefficient in Twig might just be a snap in PHP.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, that actually wouldn't have occurred to me. Coming from my perspective in developing templates, that, yeah, I could see myself struggling trying to get some Twig to do something when, yeah, I could just ultimately decide to do it in PHP.
Yeah.
Although I do believe there is a bit of a parallel in the expression engine world, because I know one of the tips for making sure your templates are speedy is don't render your template as PHP, because some people might shove in like a PHP code in a template. And the first line of defense is, can you make a plugin in PHP before you shove this PHP code inside this template to make whatever you want work? And more often than not, the plugin is the better solution.
Well, you can't just shove PHP into your Twig templates. So
yes,
you
okay.
You're That's not able to do that, but you certainly can decide to search for something by writing loops within loops within loops and that might be much better done in PHP. You have a lot more power there.
Mm-hmm. So I want to dive in to something very specific about Twig. Just like with any sort of programming language, there's always more than one way to do the same thing. And I think a very common one that people who create Twig templates and Craft templates will find is the element criteria model.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember because the way I learned Twig was I went through the Majingo tutorials and Ryan wrote his templates one way. And then I started looking at the Craft documentation and Brandon wrote it slightly different. And it was literally, it's the same thing, but simply two different ways as functions or objects, right?
Right, the function chaining or the objects.
Yeah, and I'm still not 100% clear why you do one versus the other.
I think a lot of it is personal preference.
Uh-huh.
And so, speaking of my personal preferences, if things are not complicated, then I find the function chaining to be maybe just a little bit easier to read and more friendly.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But if things start getting complicated and I get to the point where I'm not quite sure what's going on, then I find that using an object is more, feels to me more explicit. And like I more exactly know what is going on and I have a little better control over things. So I will fall back to that when something start...
Not working?
Not working or not feeling clear and simple to me. And also, if you're going to be doing, repeating the same function chaining again and again, mm-hmm. then you might as well create an object and reuse it so you can get more reuse out of the object thing.
Sure.
With something like that, there are things that are personal preference. But are there things that you've seen, particularly in kind of a new, very open community, common twig mistakes that people are doing that they should avoid doing?
Yeah. I'm thinking about things that come around on Stack Exchange and people are asking questions of the... Probably the first one, and people don't make this mistake and keep going with it because it brings things to a crashing halt. But if you ever find yourself putting those double curly bracket twig tags yeah. inside of the curly bracket percent sign twig tags, that's wrong.
Yeah,
that's,
okay.
That's just not twig.
Very common. Okay, yeah.
So no double curly brackets inside curly bracket percentage.
Right. The double curly bracket thing means it's like a PHP echo. It means print this thing out. And what's inside there is whatever, if something that evaluates to a string. And if you want something that evaluates to a string because you want to test it or something inside the curly bracket percents, then that's fine. It's a string, but you don't need to, you're not printing it out at that point. You're just evaluating it otherwise. So that's one thing that I see people doing wrong. People, one thing that I, twig mistake I often make, so therefore it feels common to me is that if you have a template that's extending another template, then the template that's doing the extending can't directly output anything. All it can do is fill in those blocks.
Yes.
And if you try and directly output something, then bang, you get a what becomes a really familiar twig error. And you go, oh yeah, that again. Things that people get hung up on and maybe stay hung up on a little more is if you want to test... Often you will want to test, does this asset exist? So you'll have entry.myAsset field. You want to say, have I got one of those? And if you say, if entry.myAsset field, blah, 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 you think, okay, that should work. But it doesn't, because that's always going to evaluate to true. The question that you want to be asking is not, does that field exist, but is there anything in it?
Oh, so, right, right. Is empty.
Yes. You say you want to get the length of that field, and you use the twig length filter. So
right.
entry.myAsset field pipe sign length, and then that'll return you an integer, which will be 0 or 1 or 20 or whatever.
Right.
And if you just say if thing of the length, and if it's 0, that's false, and if it's not 0, that's true, and so that'll be a good test for you. So that works. And the other thing that I see people doing, this is a pet peeve of mine, is you can say in the control panel, you can say, here's my channel, here's my field layout, and this asset, this is required. It is required, and there's a limit of 1. So I know that there's going to be one of those. And so you'll code into your template, just print the URL of the first one. Okay. You've gotten past the point of just trying to print the URL of the thing without having gotten the first one of the thing. But the problem with that is that it may be a required field, but that doesn't actually mean that it's necessarily always there. If somebody has deleted that asset out from under you, then maybe required, but it's not there anyway. So you should always, always test that something, an asset or an entry or a user, they're all the same things underneath, actually exists before you try and reference fields on it. So before you try and get the URL of the first asset, check that you have a first asset. And if not, do something other than nothing at all. Do something other than give the poor end user a twig template error.
So I'm curious, especially because you do seem to have a good familiarity of twig itself, do you think there's something that Craft should do better or quote unquote exploit to better harness the power of twig?
My twig experience is really all in the context of Craft. So if there is something, I don't come at it from saying, well, in this other system, they do it so much better, because I don't know of any other systems that use Twig that I'm not familiar with any of them. From what I know of Twig, I'm not seeing anything that I'm saying, well, boy, those Craft people should surface this more in their interface. You know, there's some things that they might call out in their documentation, say, hey, you guys, you might do it this way. But I don't think that there are real missed opportunities in craft.
So with that documentation in mind, and I have to admit, I haven't gone deep in the documentation, but this macro thing was kind of new to me. Are there samples or examples that you think craft should be adding to the documentation that just aren't there yet? Specifics? Well, like the thing you mentioned with pagination and how once you've reached the limit with what craft provides, you then build something yourself with macros. Is that something that's like a case study that's been documented? Things like that.
I don't think that's in the formal craft documentation. I know it's out there on Stack Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a useful thing. I think that I'd like to see some best practices documentation for, you know, here's some more examples of how we think you should do things, perhaps mm-hmm. all in one place. That would be nice.
I've found that craft documentation is really approachable. It's better than some that I've seen from not CMSs, but just technology in general documentation.
Yeah, I think the craft documentation is really good. It's not super extensive, but it's also not full of dead ends and obsolete things.
Mm-hmm.
If I had one wish list, I might say it would be nice to see more examples of how to do things with the cache tag.
So I do want to mention, because we're getting towards the end of our conversation, that you had sent us some really good links, and I just want to make sure our listeners know we'll be including these in our show notes. But there's a particularly great presentation from Anthony, I think it's Colangelo, on the template organization in craft, and I think it gives a really nice summary of how you can approach what we talked about earlier with you, Marion, using the extend for like a layout and then includes, and also generally how he's recommending organizing the file structure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great resource to check out. Before we wrap up though, I'm really curious. You've mentioned Stack Exchange a couple of times, but even before we started this conversation, we had a number of our listeners on Twitter really excited that you were on the show because this is what Narration_SD said. He said, Marion is like a hidden force on Craft Stack Exchange. And so I'm wondering if you could talk briefly about your experience with Stack Exchange and why you decided to be so active on it.
I don't know. It's like a video game for nerds, sort of slow moving. You get to level up, you get points. So it's kind of fun that way. I think that the web community has been so friendly and welcoming to me that it's awe-inspiring. And, you know, if I can give back a little bit, then that's great.
That's how I've always felt about our industry. I feel very privileged that I'm part of a community where sharing information is just sort of, it's just so commonplace, helping people out.
Mm-hmm. It's not true of the whole software field. I mean, not to knock any other parts of it, but this little corner is so amazingly friendly that it's very warm and nurturing, and that's not true everywhere.
So it sounds like positive feedback loop. You get to play a game, you get to help out people, and then they appreciate it, so you keep coming back.
Right.
And it's creating additional documentation for everyone else who comes down and encounters the same kind of question or problem.
Yep.
All right, so before we wrap up, what's your final best practice tips when coding with Twig?
Comment your code.
Ah, excellent.
That's just a good coding tip, period.
Yes, yeah, yes. No, the most likely person who's going to want to read those comments and understand them is you. 6 months on, and so be nice to yourself. Explain what the hell you were doing.
Excellent. So before we finish up, we've got our rapid fire 10 questions so our listeners can get to know you a bit better. Are you ready, Marion?
Sure.
All right, first question. Android or iOS?
iOS.
If you were stranded on a desert island and can only bring three things, what would you bring?
I'm going to bring a Swiss Army knife. I'm going to bring a rescue flare and lots of drinking water.
Those are the smartest ones.
Yeah, that's so
Swiss
practical.
Army, very practical woman.
What's your favorite TV show?
I think the black screen of television off. I haven't actually lived with a television since 1977. And so really, really unable to ignore them when they're on.
All right. What's your favorite dessert?
Mmm. Thinks chocolate, I guess.
What profession other than yours would you like to attempt?
Oh, I'm a real dabbler, so font designer.
Ooh. Oh.
What profession would you not like to try?
Anything that involved making cold calls.
What's the latest article or blog post you've read?
Twig documentation.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
I have a superpower. It's failing to recognize people.
Like if you saw someone you know in the supermarket, you wouldn't recognize them?
Completely.
That could be useful, actually.
Well, you can have it. I'll trade.
What music do you like to work to?
Silent. When I worked in a cube and I had people around me, then I used to listen to vocal music in languages other than English. But now that I work at home, I do better without anything also coming into my ears.
No distractions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last question. Cats or dogs?
Cats and also snakes.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. Not together.
No.
Do you have a pet snake?
Not anymore.
But you did, yeah?
Yeah, I could be a snake sitter. That's what I want for my profession. You know, other people could leave their snakes with me when they go on vacation, and I could make sure their boas get lots of handling and so on, and then I could, you know, give them back when they come home from vacation and before they have to be fed.
That actually seems like a real niche area you might want to consider, like putting it out in the local newsletter. I bet there are people who need help.
Contact me on Twitter if you're local to Portland and want your boa set. Pets it.
So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, Marion.
It's a pleasure.
In case our listeners want to follow up with you, where can they find you online?
I'm marion.nulevent@gmail.com, and I'm also Marion Nulevent on Twitter. There are three Nulevents in the universe, so you'll get me or my husband or my daughter, and it's not that hard to tell us apart.
Oh, wow. It was so great talking with you, Marion. I learned a lot, and it was also really fun. Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure.
We'd now like to thank our sponsors for this podcast, Ellis Lab and Pixel and Tonic.
And thanks to our partners, Arcus Tech, DevOT, and EE Insider.
We also want to thank our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about ControlClick, make sure you follow us on Twitter @ControlClickCast or visit our website, ControlClickCast.com. If you like this episode, please give us a review on Stitcher or iTunes or both.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when our friend Marcus Netto returns to the show, this time to talk about pricing for profit. Be sure to check out our schedule on our site, controlclickcast.com/schedule, for more upcoming topics.
This is Leah Alcantara
and Emily Lewis
signing off for Control Click Cast. See you next time.
Cheers.